sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised one another, expecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more drawing, memorize or hear the scripture in the NIV when I was growing up. And so one of the phrases they said actually was to spur on one another in love. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about spurs today, as well as stirring up one another and how we should do that. And so here's the first point. Stir up one another, spur one another on. Stir up one another, spur one another on. We are instructed to do this. I have with me today some spurs. How many of you in the group here this morning have ever worn spurs? If you've worn spurs, raise your hand. Okay? I don't know if you can see these different spurs here. What are these called? What are these little things called? Rowels. Good. Who came up with that? Who said that? Oh, Sue said that? Good job, Sue. Yeah. So if you see this, rowels. Rowels, that's called? And I want you to understand something that's very key about spurs. What animal do we use spurs with? Maybe a donkey, I don't know. Might be a little crazy doing that. You ever been on an elephant with spurs? How about an antelope? Deer? How about a tiger? Wouldn't that be a fun circus trick, huh? Ride a tiger with some spurs on. Spurs are used with horses. That's kind of interesting, is it not? They're not used with any other animal, and the spurs are so very important. I talked to a horseman this last week, and we talked a little about spurs, and I have never put any of these on, and neither do I want to put these on right now because I'd probably take some time to put them on. But spurs are very important when you're dealing with a horse. Spurs are also, if you're not a horseman or you're not a cowboy or a cowgirl, they are like jewelry for a cowboy, all right? So if you go to an auction and you're there, there can be a whole bunch of stuff on the auction, but if you're a cowboy, you're like, ooh, those are pretty nice. And I don't know all the delicacies and all that they're used for and what means the good pair of spurs and what doesn't, but it's jewelry. Now, what I understand was you have to be very careful when you are riding on a horse that has that knows about spurs. This man that I talked to is probably about my size, and he said that one time when he was on a horse, he was sitting on a horse and he had his spurs on, and he just shifted his weight a little bit, accidentally pricked the horse, and all of a sudden they were off. And he said, you know, I had to hold on pretty tight because I wasn't ready for all of that. And he said, I was able to hold on. But there's something about horses ridden with spurs have a different personality than those who do not. They are more alert. They're more jumpy. And as a man learns his horse, he must be gentle with the spurs. Spurs not only drive a horse forward, but they can also move a horse to the right or to the left. And so it's very important that we are very careful with what we do to spur one another one on or stir another one up. You ever had somebody come to you in the church and say something to you that you felt afterwards, if you were able to look at it rationally, you felt that maybe they were actually trying to spur you on to good things, but it didn't spur you on to good things? You ever had somebody do that? Somebody where you haven't been to church in a while, and all of a sudden you show up. Where have you been? How come you haven't been in church? They're spurring you on, but boy, that's not spurring you on very well. And it's important to know also that with spurs, you can, as mentioned, you can help drive people forward, but you can also help steer them in a different way. And I would like to tell you this. If someone around you has given you the privilege of being their spurrer, I'm going to use that word, hopefully that's in a word that I can use. If they've given you the privilege to be your spurrer, they have to be careful with that. They have to be very careful of what you say, because you never know where that's going to lead them. I mean, you think you're sitting on a horse and you're riding and you spur them to the right, they're going to go to the right. And in the same way, when you're trying to spur somebody on in the Christian walk, if you spur them to the right, they're probably going to go if you have that opportunity to be that spur. Now, the other phrase that is given here in the ESV is to stir it up. I need a couple volunteers. Could I have a couple volunteers, maybe a couple kids? Would there be a kid or two that would help me this morning? You two young ladies, come on up and help me. Yeah. You both raise your hand. You're both right there. Okay. Yep. Very good. Okay. So, let's see. Who wants to hold the bowl? Oh, yeah. Come right up here. Yeah, this is great. Come right up here. Who wants to hold the bowl? Good. Catherine, come over here. You're going to stand opposite her. Yep. Right here. Like that. Right like that. Okay. Very good. So, we are going to, here you go. Take this flower, and you're going to pull that in the bowl. Don't let go of the bowl. Yep, go ahead. Lift it. Yep. Just pour it all in there. Okay? All right. And let's put the bowl over here so it's out of the way. Okay. So I have a variety of different kitchen utensils that we would possibly want to stir that flour up in that bowl, right? Would we use these? Why not? They can't. Well, they could stir a little bit, but that's not the best. That's not what that was intended for, right? It was intended for, if you're a boy, intended to grab somebody's nose or something, right? Yeah, but I won't do that, okay? Should we use this little gadget? What is this used for? You have any idea?
No.
Anybody know what this is used for?
Straining.
Usually when I use a strainer, it's like a bowl or something, but this is a straining spoon. I mean, we could do that, couldn't we? Right? Okay, but we don't want to use that. How about this one?
No.
Now, this would be good for what?
Ice cream.
I wish I had some today, don't you? Do you like ice cream?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Chocolate.
You like ice cream?
Cookie dough.
How about chocolate cookie dough? Anyway, not going to stir that, okay? All right, and what's this?
Cheese grater.
Well, it's not just a cheese grater.
Yeah.
You can grate anything.
Yeah.
You ever grated your finger with one of these things? Anybody of you out there grated your finger? Ow, that's not good. And look, you can do it right. You know, is this a good to stir?
No.
You could use it if you wanted to, right? But that's probably not the best thing, right? Okay. So now we're down to the spatula and the whisk, right? And which would probably be better? The whisk. You're right. That's a great answer. Have you used a whisk before?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're hesitating. Yes, you have. Okay. And the spatula might be good too, but you can really get this stirred up well. So could you stir this up, please? Catherine, I need you to do me like stir it, like good, like fast, like crazy, like really get some outside of the bowl or something. Like go faster. I'm serious. Go faster. So get out. There you go. There you go. Go faster. Go faster. You should be able to get some on yourself too. Come on. All right. Now, Catherine was pretty nice. Turn around and face everyone. You have to leave that flower on your shirt, by the way. No, you can take it off. So here's what happens. When you're trying to stir something up, you want to keep it in the bowl, don't you? You don't necessarily want to get it out. That was aggressive. Because that's what we do in the church sometimes. The Bible says we're supposed to stir one another up, but then sometimes we get messy and we get on other people. We even get on ourselves. We messed on the floor here in first service. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. That was a great help to me. One of the things that when you are stirring somebody else on or you're spurring them on, sometimes you don't have to use this thing right here. Many times we think, oh, I've got to say something here because if I don't, then I won't be able to spur and stir it up well enough. But sometimes we don't even have to use our words. We can just be silent and we can spur someone else on. Let me give you an example. Say there's a piece of ground right here and all of a sudden we see water bubbling up and right to the next to the water there's three shovels. And most of us in this room would realize, well, we don't have to say, hey, Randy, why don't you pick up a shovel with me and why don't we go dig a hole? I think that Randy would just go over and pick up a shovel and I'd be like, oh, I'm glad he's digging a hole. I'll just sit back and I'll sit back and put my arm in a shovel like they do for the city and the county and say, good job, Rand. No, what would I do? They don't all do that. Jesse, they don't all do that, do they? Jesse's in, I don't know if you know Jesse Nelson, but he's kind of overseeing the Mount Rushmore Road project. So if you ever see Jesse walking down the street talking on the phone, it's like, tough job there, yeah. Anyway, I would jump in and I would help because he would spur me on through his action. I'd say, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to start digging somewhere and figure it out. There's a leak in the ground. We have the responsibilities to stir one another on. We used to, sometimes we go to the church in a couple of different ways. We go to the church to get christened, married, and buried. Somebody gave me this following first service. We're at the church to be hatched, matched, and dispatched. Or in other words, to throw water, to throw rice, and to throw dirt. We have a baby and we say we need the church, and so we come to church. And then they wander off, and then we come back to the church when that baby grows up and wants to get married. And then someone comes in and says, well, we need to have the church because somebody's passed away. And this author is saying, we just can't come three times in our lives. We have to meet together. Now, some of us do a great job of being a Christian all by ourselves. Boy, I'm a really good Christian. I'm like, well, you know what? Do you know what happens when we get together with some other people and they like to stir it up with us and they say something wrong? And by the way, Catherine, you probably should apologize for getting flour all over. That wasn't very nice of you. Okay? But here's what happens when we're in the church. We stir it up, and sometimes we mean to do it in love and good works, but we don't, and it spills on somebody else, and we never go and apologize. We never say, I'm sorry for getting flour all over you. Would you please forgive me? And how easy that could be, but we miss that, and we don't do that. And the Bible says we are supposed to not neglect meeting together. Number two, it says this, stir up one another in love and good works. What's our intent? What is our plan? If it's not of love and good works, then don't spur or don't stir. Let someone else do this. Do you hear me on this, please? If you're going to someone and say, boy, I really got to spur them on, and you're going with evil intent, or you're going with intent that's not good, then don't go. You have to check your heart and say, am I doing this out of love? Am I doing this in love and good works? We sometimes are short-sighted in this. Sometimes we just think about the immediate day or the immediate week or the immediate month, but maybe God's wanting to do something bigger, and so don't be short-sighted as you're trying to spur or stir it up with someone to not forget the big picture of what God wants to do and what God is doing. I've had some others that have come and have stirred me up and have spurred me on, and they've done it in a loving way, and it's been very good. Number three, don't neglect to meet together. I'm glad you're here today because you're not neglecting meeting together. That's a scriptural thing. It's nothing that I'm saying. You may say, well, you can have a bunch of different thoughts in all of this, but the Bible says don't neglect meeting together. Catch this. If the author of Hebrews is writing this about 2,000 years ago, it was a problem then, it's a problem now. I want to talk to you about that in just a couple of moments, but hear this quote. Many coals make a good fire, and that is a part of the communion of saints. Many coals make a good fire, and that is part of the communion of saints. There's so many illustrations that I could come up with of why we should not neglect of meeting together, but don't miss meeting together. Challenges come from not being able to meet together. And it's one way that the enemy sneaks into our lives through allowing us to neglect of being together. Catch this quote. All beasts of the jungle meet at the water hole. There's a truce. They all meet together where there is water. And God's people meet at the water hole. They meet together where the fountain flows. Those who raise sheep know the sick sheep is the only one who does not like the flock. He wanders off by himself behind the bush and dies. The healthy sheep all like to be where the other sheep are. It starts out just small is what happens. And well, maybe I just won't be able to make it to church because of whatever. And then it becomes more frequent. And then it just becomes a plain habit in our lives. And we all know of someone that this has happened to. And I don't want to be judgmental by any means. You could send a letter out and say, here, let me share with you a letter. And by the way, Hebrews 10:25. Now, I don't know that that's the most important thing to do, and that's the best way. Jesus went to the synagogue often. And if we are to emulate Jesus, shouldn't we be in the church like he did? Catch this. I don't think Jesus was so impressed with everything that was happening in the synagogue, was he? He wasn't like, wow, this is great. Pharisees, man, you're doing great. Sadducees, this is top notch. Teachers of the law, man, what you're doing. No, he was frustrated at times, but he continued to go because he was a part of the synagogue. Here's what Tozer says. When going to church becomes a problem, something is wrong. When the circle of believers becomes too dull, many excuses are given, but there is only one. We have cooled off in our spirit. Let me focus in on us for just a moment here, because again, many times we're thinking somebody else, but focus in on you for just a moment. Are there areas that I neglect and get lazy in? Are there areas that you neglect and get lazy in? I used to get up at 6 o'clock and read my Bible, but I'm not doing that anymore. I used to come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but you know, there's other things going on. I used to, and we find ourselves not doing it because we're not doing it. Scripture tells us to meet together. Number four, why are we meeting together? To encourage each other. To encourage each other. I've been able to go to Central America on a number of different occasions. If you've ever been to Central America, you know that the number one language in Central America is Spanish. Now, I don't know if you know much Spanish. I had some Spanish when I was growing up, but I don't know a lot. So I can pick up a couple words, but I can't pick them all up. And so when they're rattling off, and especially when they're speaking Spanish fast, it's like, and you just can't understand them. Maybe if another country would represent this well for you. However, if I'm in a Spanish-speaking country and all of a sudden I hear an American word, English, I hear an English song, my ears immediately prick up to that. I'm like, oh. And if I know the song, I'll sing along. Why? Because I know the words. It's normal to me. It's what I understand. Or if I'm walking down the street in a Central American country, and all of a sudden I hear two people talking in English, what do? I'm like, I hear that. I understand that. I can pay attention. All the others is just blah, 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 blah. That's about all it is to me because I don't understand it. But if I hear English, I'm like, oh, there is an English-speaking person. Whoo, isn't this wonderful? If you've ever been there, you understand this exactly because you're like, oh, I can talk to somebody. I just don't have to look at him and say, yeah, me, ha, ha, whoo, ha, you know, and do that because that's what you do when you don't understand the language. There's something about that with God's people. When you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a bunch of language and there's a bunch of actions that happen in your work and around you that is just da 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 da. Good job, Barbara. That was right on, Aubrey. Good job. But when I come into the church and when I'm around God, people that love the Lord, there's a different kind of talk. There's a different kind of interaction. There's something that else happens when I'm with people of the Lord that's just lifting to me instead of stuff I don't understand. Let me give you for instance. Everybody around the world, I think, if you don't really know what to talk about, what do you talk about when you're with somebody? The weather. It's been too cold. It's been too hot. It's too windy. Can you believe what's happened with the weather? La, 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 la. Really, the weather, especially in South Dakota or anywhere, can change in the next 5 minutes. And so you find something superficial to talk about, but when you're with God's people and you talk about godly stuff, there's something rich about that. Here's what it says. You can be encouraged by that. When you follow after Christ, you have a different language. You behave differently. You act differently. And in my mind, we just miss it at times because we don't get together. Some people drop out of the church and we say, I wonder what happened to so-and-so. I sure hope Pastor Steve has contacted them. Many times I do. But if you've ever mentioned that to me and I'm like, well, I'm not sure exactly, or I do know, then a lot of times what I'll say to you is, why don't you contact them as well? Because I'm not the only one in the church. We have to encourage one another all the more. But I want you to hear this. You and I, even this week, I believe possibly, will be tempted to stray from meeting together with fellow believers. Well, I don't know if I want to go. I don't know if I should go. And here's what the Word of God is saying to all of us here today, not somebody else, but to you. Don't neglect meeting together with other believers. That's what you need to do. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the mom who woke her son up for church, and the son replied, I don't want to go. And she said, why don't you want to go? And he said, there's two reasons. I don't like them, and they don't like me. And his mom replied and says, well, you need to go to church. And there's two reasons why. One, you're 54 years of age. And two, you're the pastor. The enemy of our souls tries to keep us away from meeting together. Truth is, as you came to church this morning, there might be some guilt, there might be some shame, there might be some conviction, there might be something you're wrestling through, and you thought, why would I go to church? Or if it's not this morning, it's been another morning. Trust me. You say, I shouldn't go to church because of... And I tell you, in those moments, you say no to the enemy and you say yes to Jesus Christ, and you meet together with the fellowship of the brethren, as some would say. And so when Sunday or Wednesday or Friday comes and you think, well, I don't need to go, be ready, and you say, yes, I must go. I need it. And furthermore, say that not only do I need it, but I need to encourage someone else. That's what the Word of God says. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So it was happening then, it's happening now, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I encourage you in this way. Every one of you, whether you be a boy, a girl, a man, or a woman, you encourage somebody before you leave today. You encourage someone. Now, be careful how you encourage someone. Some of you are huggy people, all right? You like to hug, and that's who you are. Others of you say, why are you trying to hug me? Don't do that. I don't like to be hugged. Some of you like to have your handshake, and you like to have a firm grip, and you're like, give me that handshake, and wow, that's just wonderful. Some of you are like, don't shake my hand like that. That hurts. You have to be careful with how you show love. Sometimes it's through a hug, sometimes through its handshake, sometimes it's through a smile, or sometimes it's through an encouraging word. If you can't think of anything else to do today, here's an encouraging word that you can share with somebody before you leave today. Romans 15:33. Write it down if you need to write it down so you remember. Romans 15:33. The God of peace be with you all. The God of peace be with you all. Here's another quote from Mr. Tozer. Usually, when a Christian loses his love for the company of saints, he rationalizes. He blames the minister, blames the music, blames the unfriendliness of the church, blames the hypocrites in the churches, or the church building. And I'm going to add my, he may blame the noisy children, or maybe not the right treats. But here's what Tozer says. The people draw him, the people whose spirit he has, he is with them. Why should we meet together? Here's what it says. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encourage why? Number five, the day is drawing near. Do you know what day that is? That is the day that you will be standing before Jesus, whether he comes again or you end up in heaven, you will stand and the day is drawing near. If that doesn't encourage you, then I don't know what will, because here's what's going to happen. We have a lot of cares and concerns. Trust me, I've got a lot in my mind. You've got a lot in your life. We've got a lot of cares and concerns. But the day is coming when we will get to heaven. The day is drawing near. And so if you miss everything else, hear this. One day you're going to get to go to heaven, and that's a wonderful thing, and I want you to be encouraged by that. No matter what is happening in your life, one day we get to go to heaven, and one day that day may be near right now. I don't know. In recent days, in our community, and Pastor Eric is going to be praying for us a little later in the service. In recent days, there's a pastor by the name of Tim Coates who was in a hunting accident, 63, I think, years of age. Tragic. That wasn't supposed to happen. His rifle somehow fired on him and he died. That wasn't supposed to happen. This last week in our city, very tragic. A man who was at the apartments on the north side of town was shot and killed. That's not supposed to happen. I don't understand all these things, but I understand this. The day is drawing near. And you may think, well, I'm only 8 years old. Or you may say, I'm 88 years old. I don't know what near means. However, I know this. I want to encourage you that the day is drawing near and we have a wonderful place reserved for us in heaven. And so as you think about being spurred on, as you think about being stirred up, and trust me, I will help spur you on and I will help stir it up. May you be encouraged that Jesus Christ is coming. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus because the day is coming. And we need to be prepared for the day. The church is a living body of people, and I encourage you to stir it up. I encourage you to spur on one another in love and good works. Don't neglect meeting together as some of them are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word for us today. I thank you for each person that's here today that has not neglected to meet together. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, we know our minds can sometimes race to some others and we say, boy, I wish they were here. Lord Jesus, you know all of that. And you're speaking to us today. So help us to be ones to say yes to you and be here. And Lord, may you help us to encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Thank you that we have the hope of heaven. Thank you that we have the hope of eternal life where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. And I pray that you would encourage each one in this congregation today to be reminded of that great and precious promise. Be with us in the rest of the service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Eric.
Well, kids, if you are, you know, a kid or a kid-like, if you want to come and join me here, we have a little talk. So, somewhere over here, over there. All right. Yes. Yeah, come on up. Sweet. Have a seat. What's up, guys? One, two. All right. Man. We got a straightler. Oh, come on. All right. So I have a couple questions for you guys today. And so if you have answers, we got those. All right. So what is there anyone that you guys look up to or are like a hero type or a role model? There you go, nice job, role model.
Who? I have to look up to you.
That's true, he has to look up to me because I'm gigantic. But do you have anyone else? Parents are great, but yes.
My sister.
Oh, your sister, fantastic. Does anyone I know the playoffs are happening for basketball, so there's NBA players that are pretty cool, or there's superheroes. Oh, what's over here? You have somebody? We're good? Oh. No? All right, we'll keep going. Yes.
Families always love you.
Families always love you. This is very, very true. What's up, buddy?
Love you, Uncle.
And yes, we have lots of good statements. he said puppies are good. Which puppies are good? But LeBron James was one that Ethan here mentioned. I'm particularly partial to Stephen Curry. Or there's football. There's actors and other people that we. Anyone like any superheroes? Any superhero fans here? You're a superhero fan? What's
War
up?
Machine.
Who, which one? Okay, sure. And we got War Machine. What's over here?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. He does whatever a spider can. Spider can. You got seven. You got a superhero.
Catboy.
Oh, Catboy. Okay, apparently. Oh, yeah, he's Pajama Moles, guys. If you guys don't know these superheroes, they're big time. PJ Mask, yes, Pajama Moles.
I actually forgot what she's called, but she has a magic rope, and my grandma gave me a
Lego. Oh, is that magic rope? Is that Wonder Woman? Okay, Wonder Woman. All right. So anyway, we have so many superheroes and celebrities that we can look up to, and they all have really cool things they can do. Yeah.
New shoes.
Yep, that too. We have all these things that we can look up to, and there's these really awesome people we can look up to. But
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. He sells a lot of pizza, and yes, he does. Now he does. But. There's all these people, and they're good, and these people, they have good characteristics and personalities that we can look up to. But as Christians, the person we're supposed to look up to the most is Jesus. And so, what is Jesus like that we get to act like him? What is he like? Anyone got what Jesus is like? Does he love people?
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves people. Is he, yes?
Daddy, why do you hurt his feelings?
Yeah, you can't hurt Jesus' feelings, but you don't. He doesn't like people. He doesn't like us to hurt other people's feelings. He likes us to be nice to each other. Yeah, Allie?
Like, families are good for you.
Yeah, families are good for us because they are some of our families. They can help us to be like our Jesus. Teachers. And so, we have this, if we're Christians, we're supposed to act like Christ. That's what Christian means, is we're like Christ. And so when Jesus said, you know, come follow me, he didn't just mean get behind me and walk along in a line. He actually meant, you know, act like me and be like me and treat people like I would want them to be treated. And so that's what we get to do. And, you know, you mentioned families, and families can be great. A lot of us have parents or grandparents that can help us to be more like Christ, and that's so important for you kids. And there's ways you can learn how to do that. I know today you're up here with us, but on other weeks you guys can go down to your Sunday school classes, or there's, you know, kids camp and Awana and all these different things that you can learn more and more about Jesus and what that means for you. And so I just I want to encourage you all to find out who Jesus is and find out how you can act more like him. And so with that, how many of you guys fill out your little note card thing that Steve was mentioning? Because after the service, I'll be back there, and you guys can get, it's candy. It's a surprise, but it's candy. I'm going to spoiler alert. So come to the back and find me. But for now, just go find your parents, and we'll go sit back down. But I'll see you back.
I found my parent.
He found me, too. He's got it. All right.